Thank you.
Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Canchola. And for the first hour, we're going to do a bit something more different. We're going to do more music than we usually do. Some by GoFish, Shylin, Lecrae, and some other one. He goes by Guitar Boy 70 on YouTube. And we are going to have Mike Stockwell the second hour. And in case you don't know who he is, you could check out more about him at crosscountryevangelism.com, crosscountryevangelism.com. And we'll talk more about that later. And I'm going to get you started off with a song by GoFish, and this is called Before the Throne of God on Truth Be Told Radio. Song. And that one's about my Savior God. Sorry, I forgot the name all of a sudden. Oh, thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see, next I'm going to play, it's called Before the Throne of God, that's what it's called. And next I am going to play, this is the song by Lecrae, and it's called don't waste your life and use the Trippy Tall Radio. And also remember to look us up at trippytallradio.com. And here, once again, like I said, the pray, don't waste your life.
Let's go. Don't waste your life, man. I know a lot of people that are scared to go die. Couple of us thinking they'll be living in the sky. While I'm here living, man, I gotta ask why. What am I here for? I gotta figure out. Waste my life, no, I gotta make it count. If Christ is real, then what am I gonna do about? Everything in Luke 12, 15, out of 21, you really gotta go and check it out. Paul said, if Christ ain't resurrected, we wasted our lives. Well, that implies that our life's built around Jesus being alive. Yeah, they're gonna try to show the world why. Christ's more than everything you'll ever try. Better than pretty women and sinning and living and getting a minute of many women and minutes you and mine. It ain't no lie, we created for. Out of dust, he made us for. Alexa said, he's faithful. Jesus comes and he breaks the fall. Magnify the Father. Our Father was something lesser. He made us so we could bless him. Bless him the world we confess him. Resurrect him. So I know I got life. Matter of fact, better man, I know I got Christ. You don't see his ways in my days and my nights. You can hit my brakes. You can stop my life. But I lost my right. Lost my life. Forget the money, cause it's off that ice. The cost is Christ. They can never offer me anything less better than the cost that price. Yeah. The devil just can't hang with us. Christian youth, them a stand with us. Living and driven, giving a vision, preventing the commission he handed us. London to Los Angeles, the rap evangelist. My daddy wouldn't abandon us.
I got a backpack for the jets and I keep a Johnny Max.
Now are you ready to jam with us? So let's go. Give me the word and let's go. Persecution, let's go. Tribulation, let's go. Oppressed in Asia, let's go. Procrastination, let's go. Hung on the cross in the cold. Down for the young and the old. Hard to get ever know. Heaven knows how many souls are going to hell and to heaven. So we gotta go in together. Trying to figure out what to do with your life. You make a lot of money, hope you're doing it right. Because the money is God's, you better steward it right and stay focused. You ain't got no ride, your life ain't wrapped up in what you drive. The clothes you wear, the job you work, the color of your skin, now you're Christian first. People get to living for a job, make a little money, start living for a car. Get a my wife, a house, kids, and a dog. When you retire, they're living high on the hall. But guess what, they didn't ever really live it all. To live is Christ, and that's Paul, I recall. To die is gain, so for Christ we give it all.
Don't waste your life on Trippy Toll Radio. And next, we're going to play, let's see. This is the song called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And that is all here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Each of our lives is a story. And with each new person we meet, we become a part of their story and they become a part of ours. The God who created the universe has somehow woven together these billions of stories into one story, which is the greatest story ever told. Aye, check it. Let's go back in time, brethren. Divine lesson. Always keep your mind guessing. The glory of the triune gods where I'm stressing. The origin of humankind with fine blessings were plenteous. God is amazingly generous. Crazy benefits in a state of innocence. God told the man what he could taste was limited. Not long after came a nemesis in Genesis. He scanned well. Man fell. Damned to hell. The whole human race, he represented it. Fooled by the serpent. Man through his work, woman through birth, even the earth ruled by the curses. But instead of awake, immediately God said a seed would be the one to crush the head of the snake. Yo, wait, what's this? Whoa, what gracious gift? And Jehovah's faithfulness, he clothed their nakedness. This was so they would know their Savior's kiss and bliss. But first, many growing pains exist. Suffering in the worst form, ugly deeds. Eve, firstborn seed, made his brother bleed. Indeed, things got progressively worse. Every section of the earth been affected by the curse. And though God's judgments against him were gory, praise the Lord, it's not the end of the story.
It's the greatest story ever told. God that through his foes was hard time. It's the greatest story ever told. The story known that the enemy's told. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory is right to the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest.
Next scene, man's sin was extreme. God gets seen, man gets cream. The Lord is so holy that he drowned them in the water. Fire in the valley of slaughter, Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the same time, he's so gracious and patient that from one man, he created a whole nation. Eventually enslaved by the mentally depraved, they cried out to the only one with the strength that he could save. He brought them out with signs and wonders, satisfied the hunger. Then he appeared on Mount Sinai in thunder, where he laid down the law for God ruled government, commonly referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. Sins imputed, so for man to know he's unrighteous, God instituted animal sacrifices. This was to show our constant need for atonement. And when it came to sin, the Lord would never condone it. And when his people disobeyed and went astray, he raised up prophets and kings to lead them in the way. But they would get foul with their idolatry, wet and wild. Prophecy sent them into exile to take their punishment like a grown man. Then with his own hand, he placed them back in their homeland. And while in their forefathers' land they dwell, they awaited the arrival of Emmanuel.
It's
word.
The greatest story ever told. The God that through his foes was hard time told. It's the greatest story ever told. The story known that the enemy's told. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory is right to the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest.
400 silent years filled with sighs and tears. In Bethlehem, the Messiah appears. God in the flesh, second person of the Trinity, at 30 begins his earthly ministry. Baffling cats with accurate, exact facts and back-to-back miraculous acts. A stumbling block to the self-righteous, but to humble his flock, said there's no one else like this. He came from heaven to awake the numb, demonstrated his power over nature's son, a foretaste of the kingdom in the age to come. But the reason he came was to pay the sum for the death of our wickedness, our wretched sinfulness. Bless his magnificence, he's perfect and innocent. Yet he was wrecked in his death, he predicted it. Next he was stretched, paid a debt that was infinite. He said that he finished it. Resurrected, so the elect would be the recipients of his benefits. Through faith and penitence, we get to be intimate. His grace is heaven sent, it never diminishes. Now the Holy Spirit in dwelling is the evidence for heaven's future residents, who truly represent Jesus, the author, producer, director, and star of the story that'll never ever end. Ever end.
Ever told. The story known that the enemy stole. It's the greatest story.
the enemy's foe.
It's the greatest story ever told.
The glory of Christ is the goal. Behold,
it's the greatest story ever told.
Ever told.
It's the greatest.
Yeah, it's the greatest story ever told on Trippy Toll Radio. That's the song by Shylin. And if you want to look up stuff more about him, you can find him on YouTube and, I guess, do a search for S-H-A-I, and then L-I-N-N-E. That's two different names. Shy, S-H-A-I, then Lynn is L-I-N-N-E. And that was, like I said, the greatest story ever told. And that's on here on Trippy Toll Radio. Later, the second hour, we're going to be talking to Mike Stockwell from crosscountryevangelism.com. So if you would like to talk to him, we have our chat room open. You could ask questions. And also, if you would like to talk to him, you can call in at 347 area code 884-9505, 347-884-9505. And like I said, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And let's see what if I got next. I want to see if my file is ready. Gonna play. Okay, I think I got it ready. Let me check real quick. Refresh. Okay, I want to take a break and make sure that's ready. Let's see. It doesn't look like it's there. It says it's processing. So, if you also want to check out more about us too, you could also see our page on. We have Facebook page, look for Truth Be Told Radio, and you can talk to me on there, and also talk to the people who like our show. And I think, let's see, I think that file is ready now. We'll make sure. Let's see, is it there? Oh, yeah, it's here now. So here we go, we're taking a break. Thank you for listening to Trippy Toll Radio.
It was Nancy Reagan who said, "Just say no." Well, some did and some didn't. But if you're smart, you know that she was right. There are times when you just have to deny yourself. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said that one of the conditions for having a meaningful relationship with Him was to deny yourself. The verse says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself." This word deny means to disown or repudiate. So, disown yourself. Repudiate your own designs, plans, and desires. It's a strong word and a difficult concept to accept. Yet so often the worst enemy in our relationships is our own selves. People don't like being with a selfish, self-serving person. It's a big turnoff. In fact, the more you deny yourself in favor of reaching out to others, the more people will be drawn to you. I think it was Pogo in the cartoon who said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Howard Hendricks said he used to pray, "Lord, change my wife," until he learned what the real problem was, and then he prayed, "Lord, change my wife's husband." Listen, the most natural inclination of the human heart is to be self-serving. But the most important lesson you can learn in life is to deny yourself. So Jesus isn't trying to ruin your fun. He really has your best interest in mind. He wants you to get the most out of life when he said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself." Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, deny yourself doesn't mean have a low self-image. It simply means you stop being selfish. You think of others first.
A Word from the Word is an apologetics ministry emphasizing the trustworthiness of the Bible and an exposition ministry exploring the biblical text for answers to life's most pressing issues. Visit our website today at awordfromtheword.org.
Okay. I promise you it's not complex. So far, all has been explaining why God's vexed. Mad at us, his wrath is just. We lack trust, blasphemous, even though we know it's hazardous. Chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. He talked about our great schemes and the dirt we do. He said people refuse to give God his due praise. Suppressing the truth and their wickedness, they're ruthless. Therefore, God turned them over to their sinful ways. And because of nature, we have no excuses. Nope. Chapter 2 is for those who think they don't fit in this category. They think they're on the path to glory.
Nope.
Wrath and fury. They point the guilty to hell. They're swell, lacking humility. Even though they're filthy as well. Needing more than a bath, because like a greedy man who hoards his cash, in the same way they're storing up wrath. For the day when God's righteous judgment is revealed. And all see their sin debts an infinite amount. When no secret word, thought, or deed will remain concealed. Before God, to whom we must give account.
That's why
it feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high. Make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen. It feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high. Make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen.
As we continue, the Apostle Paul is a man on a mission to convince you apostle Paul in humanity's condition. Learn where God disperses, hurt your pride verses. Romans 3:12, all have turned aside, they're worthless. Bound by sin, a race of hopeless slaves. Verse 13, their throat is an open grave. It says that they use their tongues to deceive. The poison of vipers is under their lips. Look at hip hop, that's not a hard one to believe. Tattoo, run with their clicks, with guns on their hips. Doesn't it fit? Thugs found dead in clubs. Verse 15, their feet are stripped to shed blood.
True.
Police end up deceased in their hot zones. Verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Everybody appears hard despite the clear odds. Verse 18, bottom line, nobody fears God. His holy word declares we're all lawbreakers. Well, that's the explanation for this planet's confusion. God didn't intervene, the fall would take us all to hell. But praise the Lord, he granted a solution. And it feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high, make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen. It feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high, make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen.
Verse 21, God's righteousness be manifested in. But that's nothing new, it's in the Old Testament. It belongs to those who put their faith in Christ. If you believe in, you're redeemed because he paid the price. We were hostages, but then he set us free from the bondage of sin. So now we pay homage to him. Verse 24, divine gift, justification.
Yes.
The most important term in a Christian's vocabulary. And most believers can't define it, that's frustrating. Because understanding this helps us resist the adversary. Christ filled the capillaries, that's why a savior can't be married. That's a burden only the God-man can carry. In justification, God declares sinners to be righteous by grace alone, through faith alone. In the finished work of Christ alone, he saves his own. Add anything to that, you in the danger zone. At the cross, God treated Christ as if he lived my life.
What?
So perverted, that's why he was broken and murdered. Through faith, God treats me like I lived the perfect life of Christ.
Yo, I can't earn it, and no, I don't deserve it, but
it feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high, make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen. It feels so good to be justified. Either trust or die, you must decide. Stakes is high, make the right decision. For the Lamb whose life was given, Christ is risen.
So we hope you enjoyed the exposition. And now with a special treat, we have some turntablism by our very own disc jockey. Essence, take it away.
Take it away.
That was Justified, and that was by Shy Lanigan. And you're swimming with Controller on Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see, we're going to do this little interlude here. This is Good Heart Boy 70 on YouTube with Jesus Loves Me.
Little ones to him belong. They
There's commotion in my brain, strange is the notion. Words cannot explain my range of emotion. I'm speechless, my flaws exposed and my weakness. Each breath draws me closer to a deep test. It's month number 7, it's been 10 days. I've been awake all night, reflecting on my ways. A threat to my peace in this greatest of moments. Cause I'm the high priest and it's the day of atonement. The Lord is so holy and perfect, I'm nervous. I'm floored that he chose me to worship through service. Don't ask me why the God who crafted these skies drafted this weak guy from the clan of Levi. Preceding generation taught me to read the regulations. Deep meditation on decreed revelation. Extreme trepidation breeds hesitation. Yet I must lead and be the representation. My occupation to intercede for the nation. But indeed my own sins need expiation. The wrath of Jehovah's grim. Sin is no joke to him. The hope is slim for unholy men coming close to him. He's spoken in his word the proper way of approach to him. Nadab and Abihu got it wrong and he roasted them. These things I weigh as I sigh. This could either be the greatest day of my life or the day that I die.
So you say that you want to know the Lord. Do you really want to stand before the Lord? Do you know what it takes to meet the Lord?
God is an all-consuming fire.
So you say that you want to know the Lord. Do you really want to stand before the Lord? Do you know what it takes to meet the Lord?
Be careful what you desire.
For now, no time to focus on my sinning. I bathe in the laver, though it seems extreme. I put on the holy coat made of white linen, craving his favor. I'm ceremonially clean. I check to inspect, no tangible faltering. Next, I must collect the animals for the offering. A spotless ram and a bull, the components God gives to make atonement for my own sins. This part of the ritual makes me real cautious, because the very sight of blood makes me feel nauseous. Still, I proceed by snatching him close, slashing his throat when his blood splashed on my coat. Reacting, I choke, gasping, that's when I'm grasping God's reaction. That sin provokes. I take a moment to reflect on the blood spilt in this. Staring at the goat to be sent into the wilderness. I'll confess Israel's sins with my hands on his head, symbolizing guilt transferred instead to a substitute. The living God provided and stamped guilty of our sin driven outside the camp. This beautiful picture of hope and grace motivates. And I don't want my fear to make this dope occasion go to waste. Change my outer garments, show my pace. Yo, I brace myself to stand before Jehovah's face in the holy place.
So you say that you want to know the Lord. Do you really want to stand before the Lord? Do you know what it takes to meet the Lord?
God is an all-consuming fire.
So you say that you want to know the Lord. Do you really want to stand before the Lord? Do you know what it takes to meet the Lord?
Be careful what you desire.
The time has come, the great moment has arrived. About to enter in, what a lonely enterprise. Look at the other priests, they speak only with the eyes. Rope tied around my ankle just in case I don't survive. I enter through the first curtain to a dark room. I'm standing in the holy place, my thoughts consumed. I'm caught off guard, I'm unraveling at this stage. My heart beats so hard, it's rattling my ribcage. Feeling like I'm disintegrating and I can't stand. Comforted by the light emanating from the lampstand. This helps my vision, I can see the showbread. I think of God's provision that helps me go ahead. I need courage to worship, man, this is intense. I take burning coals off the altar for the incense. The sweet aroma fills the room. The smoke protects my eyes, one sight of Jehovah seals my doom. It's no mere coincidence, I'm here surrendering. With fear and trembling, I'm nearly entering. I feel like running scared, hoping I'm not unprepared. Done with fear, no one comes in here for once a year. Nevertheless, I'm at the point of no return. I don't want my anointing to be spurned. After counting the three, next time I exhale, I'm in the holy of holies beyond the veil. The first thing I realize is I'm thrilled that I've entered into God's presence and yet I'm still alive. I'm awestruck by the weight of his terrible beauty. It's almost unbearable, but I must fulfill my duty. Approach the ark, the first part of my work's complete. When I sprinkle blood 7 times on the mercy seat, quickly I exit, impressed with the hesed that rescues the wretched and left us accepted.
When a golfer yells 4, that golfer is telling everyone to pay attention and watch out. Now, when the writers of the New Testament say 4, it is often for the same reason. Pay attention and watch out. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Little words sometimes have big meanings. In the New Testament, that is true for the little connecting word 4. It alerts the reader to the fact that an explanation is coming. For instance, a statement is made and then the author says, for. What follows is a fuller explanation of what was just said. Now, this can be clearly seen in one of the great passages on spiritual living, words spoken by our Lord himself. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Here are three requirements for those who would pursue the Lord. Well, the thing to notice is that the next three verses all begin with the connecting word for. So, here's how it works. In verse 24, when Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, each of the three segments is amplified in the three following verses. First, deny himself, is explained in verse 25. For, whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Second, take up his cross, is amplified in verse 26. For, what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And third, follow me, is explained more fully in verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come and reward every person according to their deeds. You see, for is the connection that ties it all together. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. So now when you read the little word for, you're going to pay attention, right?
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
That was Word from the Word, and before that we had a song by that was by Shylin, that was called High Priest. And you listen to me, Melissa Cantrilla, on Trippy Tall Radio. And let's see what we got for next. I was planning on changing it up a little bit with the music, a little bit slower. This is from YouTube. It's the person called Guitar Boy 70 on there, and also on vocals. The person goes by, so lady goes by Lex Bree Stove, like LexBreStov. And this is them singing This Is My Father's World, and that's here on Truth Be Told Radio. Okay, so like have a little problem with that file and it playing, so I will see. Oh, I'll have to do something else. Let's see if I got another one. Well, let's see. We will play another Word for the Word because that file ain't working right now, so I have to find a different one. Sorry about that. These are good anyway, so the exegesis of this tells you what the words mean, certain verses. Thank you, verses, and Truth Be Told Radio.
Hey, what's that smell? It's terrible. A putrid odor was engulfing the interior of the car. Well, we found the culprit under the seat. In a styrofoam carryout box from a restaurant we had visited 2 weeks before was a thoroughly rotten piece of meat. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Do you know what the problem of self-indulgence is? Life turns rotten. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. He said, if you're going to come after me, you need to deny yourself, for whoever will save his life will lose it. In other words, if you live life selfishly and simply try to protect your own interests, if you in that sense try to save yourself, you will lose it. Now that's disturbing. The word lose is the Greek word apolumi, which means to ruin or destroy or perish. It's the very word used of Satan in Revelation 9:11 when he is called Apollyon, the destroyer. Actually, in the New Testament, this word is used of a number of things. In John 6:27, it is used of food which perishes, rotten food. In James 1:11, it's used of flowers that fade in beauty, wilted flowers. And in John 3:16, it refers to eternal destruction. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. What a word! Certainly not one you want used to describe your life. Yet for the persons who live only for themselves, Jesus said, you will lose it. Life will turn out rotten. It will wilt right before your very eyes. And if you try to save your own life eternally, you will lose it eternally. You will perish. So instead of living for yourself, live for Christ. That's the only way not to lose it. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, you may think you're moving along pretty good, but if you're not living for Christ, you're on the fast track to nowhere.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Melissa Cantrola. And let's see if I got that file ready yet. Seems like it's still processing it. So I'll tell you about this. The second hour, we're going to have Mike Stockwell. We had him on quite a while back. I'm guessing it's about, I didn't see the exact day, but I'm guessing it's probably at least 6 months. Maybe it might have been even a year. I'm not sure how long exactly, but we're going to have an update from him on the second hour. And that will be, that's 3 p.m. Pacific time, and then if you're here East Coast, it's 3 hours more, so I guess yeah, that's about 6. And let's see, and we will talk to him, and then you could call in also if you want to get ready for that, like just to call in now before he's on. You could call in at 347 area code 884-9505. Once again, that's 347-884-9505. And you can call in there, and then you will be put in our queue. And remember to push, I think it's number 1. That allows you to be shown, like, if you want to actually talk to the person, like, because sometimes people just call in and listen. But if you want to talk to the person, Mike Stockwell, and his website is crosscountryevangelism.com, crosscountryevangelism.com. He basically had done that. Actually, I think he's gone actually international, so he's gone beyond what he even attended. So it's pretty cool that the way God has honored that he wants to tell people about Jesus and preach the gospel. And God has been faithful and helped people help him, and also like even to provide, like he's, like God promises to help feed us and clothe us. And he has a car, but he says he hasn't had to sleep in his car yet so far. And so he's got to stay with other Christians, so that's good. And I got that file ready for you. This is My Father's World, and this is sang by Lex Reeve-Stout, and that's a person on YouTube. It's spelled LEXBREESTOV, and that's a girl. And this is the music is by Guitar Boy 70 on YouTube. So once again, this is My Father's World on Truth Be Told Radio. Not again. I guess this file is just very stubborn. I'm just not going to be able to play that one today, unfortunately. So, let's see. We'll play this one again to buy me some time to upload something else. Thanks for listening to me. I'm Melissa Cantrola on Truth Be Told Radio.
Bible tells me so.
what's that smell? It's terrible. A putrid odor was engulfing the interior of the car. Well, we found the culprit under the seat. In a styrofoam carryout box from a restaurant we had visited 2 weeks before was a thoroughly rotten piece of meat. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the word for you. Do you know what the problem of self-indulgence is? Life turns rotten. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. He said, if you're going to come after me, you need to deny yourself, for whoever will save his life will lose it. In other words, if you live life selfishly and simply try to protect your own interests, if you in that sense try to save yourself, you will lose it. Now that's disturbing. The word lose is the Greek word apolumi, which means to ruin or destroy or perish. It's the very word used of Satan in Revelation 9:11 when he is called Apollyon, the destroyer. Actually, in the New Testament, this word is used of a number of things. In John 6:27, it is used of food which perishes, rotten food. In James 1:11, it's used of flowers that fade in beauty, wilted flowers. And in John 3:16, it refers to eternal destruction. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. What a word! Certainly not one you want used to describe your life. Yet for the persons who live only for themselves, Jesus said, you will lose it. Life will turn out rotten. It will wilt right before your very eyes. And if you try to save your own life eternally, you will lose it eternally. You will perish. So instead of living for yourself, live for Christ. That's the only way not to lose it. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. So you may think you're moving along pretty good, but if you're not living for Christ, you're on the fast track to nowhere.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word.
Listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. We are playing lots of good music this hour, and some of the people was Lecrae, Shylan, Guitar Boy 70 from YouTube, and let's see, and next hour gonna have Mike Stockwell, and that's at 3 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to find out more about me, listen to all of our archives. Oh, well, first you can find out more about us at tributoradio.com, and then if you want to hear our archives, you could go to iTunes. And all our past shows are free to download, and all our shows automatically get archived after the live show ends, and so you will be able to download and get yourself updated with us, and I hope you enjoy it, all of them, and I enjoy the show, and I like to do my best to get the gospel out there, and that's one reason playing about it is good music. I mean, I like music too, but to me, like, they explain things from the Bible, like, easier than, like, than me saying it, and they say it in a song, so that's pretty cool. Here's another one. This one's by Shannon. Again, this one's called Mission Accomplished, and that's here on Truth Be Told Radio. Okay, let's see. I guess not wanting to play. Let me try that again. Well, I'm right now. I'm trying out the beta thing, so maybe that's one of the reasons why I ain't playing. And but let's see. I'll try it on the regular one. Well, in case you don't know, they have like a new a new version. They call it the studio new version of the switchboard for us. So I was trying it out. So let's see if it plays on the old one. Here we go with Try It Again, Shylan, Mission Accomplished.
One, two, three. God, don't you try. One, two. God, don't one, two, one, two. Okay, we on? All right, yeah. Here's a controversial subject that tends to divide. For years it's had Christians lining up on both sides. By God's grace, I'll address this without pride. The question concerns those for whom Christ died. Was he trying to save everybody worldwide? Was he trying to make the entire world his bride? Does man's unbelief keep the Savior's hands tied? Biblically, each of these must be denied. It's true Jesus gave up his life for his bride, but his bride is the elect to whom his death is applied. If on judgment day you see that you can't hide, because of your sin, God's wrath on you abides. And hell is the place you eternally reside. That means your wrath from God hasn't been satisfied. But we believe his mission was accomplished when he died. Yeah. But how the cross relates to those in hell? Well, they be saying, yeah, yeah. That's what they be saying. Cats be saying that he tried. But I'm saying, did he try and fail or did he succeed? Is there going to be one drop of the Savior's blood in vain? Nah, perish the thought. The Lamb will receive the reward for his suffering. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three and yet one, working as a unit to get things done. Our salvation began in eternity past. God certainly has to bring all his purpose to pass. A triune, eternal bond, no one could ever sever. When it comes to the church, he probably works together. The Father foreknew first, the Son came to earth to die. The Holy Spirit gives a new birth. The Father elects them, the Son pays their debt and protects them. The Spirit is the one who resurrects them. The Father chooses them, the Son gets bruised for them. The Spirit renews them and produces fruit in them. Everybody's not elect, the Father decides. And it's only the elect in whom the Spirit resides. The Father and the Spirit completely unified. But when it comes to Christ and those in hell, well, they be saying, so if we can agree that the election of the Father is not universal and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit is not universal, why would the atonement of the Son be universal? That would put the persons of the Trinity completely at odds with one another. But the triune God is completely unified. Yeah, yeah. My third and final verse, here's the situation. Just a couple more things for your consideration. If saving everybody was why Christ came in history, with so many in hell, we have to say he fell miserably. So many think he only came to make it possible. Let's follow this solution to a conclusion that's logical. Okay. What about those who were already in the grave? The Old Testament wicked, condemned as depraved. Did he die for them? Come on, behave. But worst of all, you're saying the cross by itself doesn't save. That we must do something to give the cross its power. That means at the end of the day, the glory's ours. That man's sin of thinking is not recommended. Nope. The cross will save all for whom it was intended. Because to the elect, God's wrath was satisfied. Amen. But still, when it comes to those in hell, well, they be saying, look, at the end of the day, this is about giving God the maximum amount of glory. You know what I'm saying? We proclaim a cross that actually saves, not make salvation possible, but actually saves. Matthew 1:21. His name should be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not might save them, not try to save, but no, he will actually save them. It's a definite atonement. And yo, this ain't controversy for the sake of controversy or theological nitpicking. Salvation is of the Lord. Him belongs all the glory. Holy day, O Gloria. But let's get into the text. See what the scriptures have to say about it. Lord, thank you for the cross. Word up.
That was Mission Accomplished, and that is by Shailin. And here's me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see what I'm going to do next. I am going to play this. This is A Word from the Word on Truth Be Told Radio.
Did you ever lose something and then after looking for it for a long time, you finally found it? Pretty neat feeling, huh? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about finding it. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, for whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Now, losing your life for Christ's sake simply means giving up your own selfish interests in order to serve the Lord and please him. At first, that can seem pretty ominous, right? You think, if I let Christ rule my life, I'll lose out. But just the opposite is true. Jesus said, you will find it. The word find is the Greek word eurisko, which means to find something. Archimedes was a great mathematician and inventor. At one point he was asked by King Hero II to determine how much gold and how much silver were mixed together in his crown. It was a mind-boggling puzzle. Well, one day Archimedes was sitting in his bathtub, and as he watched his legs buoyant in the water, it suddenly dawned on him what to do. He had stumbled on the scientific principle of specific gravity. He could now solve the puzzle of King Hero's crown. So, as the story goes, he got so excited he jumped out of the bathtub and went running out into the street yelling, "Eureka! Eureka!" You see, he was speaking Greek, and using this very word, eurisko. He was saying, "I found it! I found it!" So, lose your life in Christ, and you too will end up shouting, "Eureka! I found it!" Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, Archimedes has nothing on you. Eureka in Christ is better than any other eureka.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden. That's awordfromtheword.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And coming up soon is we'll be talking to Mike Stockwell on Truth Be Told Radio. But right now I'm going to do... I'm trying to get a file ready, but so, let's see. I will play this and get ready soon to transition to the next hour on Truth Be Told Radio.
Putrid odor was engulfing the interior of the car. Well, we found the culprit under the seat. In a styrofoam carry-out box from a restaurant we had visited 2 weeks before was a thoroughly rotten piece of meat. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Do you know what the problem of self-indulgence is? Life turns rotten. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. He said, "If you're going to come after me, you need to deny yourself, for whoever will save his life will lose it." In other words, if you live life selfishly and simply try to protect your own interests, if you in that sense try to save yourself, you will lose it. Now that's disturbing. The word lose is the Greek word apolumi, which means to ruin or destroy or perish. It's the very word used of Satan in Revelation 9:11 when he is called Apollyon, the destroyer. Actually, in the New Testament, this word is used of a number of things. In John 6:27, it is used of food which perishes, rotten food. In James 1:11, it's used of flowers that fade in beauty, wilted flowers. And in John 3:16, it refers to eternal destruction. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. What a word! Certainly not one you want used to describe your life. Yet for the persons who live only for themselves, Jesus said, you will lose it. Life will turn out rotten. It will wilt right before your very eyes. And if you try to save your own life eternally, you will lose it eternally. You will perish. So, instead of living for yourself, live for Christ. That's the only way not to lose it. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, you may think you're moving along pretty good, but if you're not living for Christ, you're on the fast track to nowhere.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word.
Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Melissa Cantrola. And a little bit, we're going to bring Mike Stockwell on from Cross Country Evangelism. But first, I'm going to play it's an example of Mike preaching. And I think this is says something about like the Muslim maybe day of prayer. I forgot this for sure, but see this. I hope there's not cussing because I just uploaded it right now. Hope you enjoy this. This is Truth Be Told Radio. Okay, let's try again. Another window. It's like not letting me answer him. So hold on a bit. try that again. See, I don't know, between, because this is the original switchboard, and then they also have a new switchboard for us that we're trying out here on the Blog Talk Radio, and then, like, sometimes things work on here, and other one that won't work. Okay, here we go. I think this is Michael Ringemann. Hello?
Hi.
Is this Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Okay. Well, welcome to Trippy Toll Radio. And for everybody to know, this is Mike Stockwell with CrossCountryEvangelism.com. And I would like you to, like, just introduce us and get everybody about you.
Well, hello, Melissa. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. I had you a while back. I think it was like at least 6 months, maybe more.
I think it's closer to 2 years.
Oh, it's been that long? Wow.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, because it was closer to when you first started, but I just didn't realize how long it was.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Tell us how, like, you started out on what you do now.
Well, about 2 years ago, just over 2 years, the Lord laid it on my heart to sell everything that I had and pack up my car and go on the road and go and preach the gospel all across America. And that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years, and I've lost count. I don't know how many times I've been from New York to California. It's at least a half dozen times.
Well, and, that's several thousand miles.
Yeah, and I'm in California right now, and I'm closing in on 5,000 miles. Because I was took about 11 days to get here, and I was stopping and preaching with other friends all along the ride.
I live in California. I'm in Hemet. I'm not sure where you are, but I'm in Hemet right now. I don't know if anybody's familiar. Well, you might be, because, like, Calvary Chapel Hemet has Brett Coronado, and he was, like, featured. He was on the Bachelor's Academy, and then he also was featured on a recent video where, like, they got arrested for preaching the gospel.
I'm friends with Brett, and I also preached at that DMV with those guys, with Brett and Ed over there, and I think they were calling the police then too, but we had finished and left. But it's been he's a good brother, Brett.
Yeah, I've been there with him, I think, at least once or twice to the DMV. But well, there was some things that went on, but it wasn't the police that time. Yeah, it's funny, like you get the heckling.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. When you're out there open air preaching, you can expect the hecklers, you can expect the police, and the most common thing lately has been the professing Christians who come out and say, you're turning people away, or this isn't effective, nobody's listening. I mean, it seems like there's been a lot of that lately. Because open-air preaching is foreign to most people.
Yeah, I've seen situations like the irony, they'll sing some song, maybe like, I don't know, like God Bless America or something like that. They'll start singing some song and, like, trying to drown you out. I'm like, if they really went for the gospel, then they wouldn't be doing that.
Right, that's right. And then there's another one. When we were in Texas, a guy came with a bagpipe, and he was trying to drown us out with a bagpipe.
Yeah, those are loud.
And I don't, did you see the last on the box?
Oh, no, I saw that you were featured. I think it was the 17th, but I didn't see that one yet.
Well, anyway, there's a scene in there where I'm preaching at the campus, and the guy comes with a big bullhorn, and he's got like a siren on it, and he's blasting it right in my ear practically, trying to stop us.
Yeah, it's like all you have to do is to get the devil going is preach the gospel, and that's what happens. Go ahead, say it.
Because the gospel is an offense, people find it offensive, and there's no way of really packaging that people are sinners, and people don't want to hear that, but they need to know the truth.
Yeah. Oh, I got Brad Snow, he's in the, we have a chat room on Blog Talk Radio, and while we're doing this, and he says, love my great brother. So
yeah,
I want to let you know
too.
That. Yeah, he's cool. He does all the website stuff, I think. I think with Living Waters, I think.
Yes, he works for Living Waters. He's part of the ministry over there. He does a great job with what he does. And That whole ministry is wonderful. They really are dedicated to serving the Lord. They're just Ray Comfort, who's in charge of it, is just so inventive and comes up with such great ideas on how to share the gospel. It's humbling to me to be around a guy like that.
And I remember one of the first time that I saw Brad Snow, I don't know if I think I did talk to him a little bit. It was like in, because I became Christian because of, I saw Hell is Best Kept Secret and True False Conversion on TBN with, it was Kurt Cameron, and my first time I saw Ray Comfort, I knew who Kurt Cameron was. I was one of those people I had a crush on from, you know, Growing Pains. What happened is they had, it was like the very first time they made the training course. It was a DVDs, that's when they made that, and it was in Bellflower, and I used to live in Bellflower. I lived in Bellflower most of my life, close to that point, and, it was at, they're doing the, you know, making it. And it was in the theater, and then I met him there, and then I knew that he did the, or at least found out that he did the website. I don't know if he remembers me, but I remember wrestling the first time I met him. And I also met Ray there and Kirk for the first time, but I met Ray at the both places where they had their Living Waters at. And it's funny because one time he was, I was looking at him outside, and then like he went to go give me a gospel track, and I was like, no, I got my own. Show him that I had mine. But that was, I guess that was like honor. It was just good. That was funny though. I like that. And
Brad Snow, he's part of it. But also, Brad Snow open air preaches, and we were able to go out with him this week quite a few times, and he was out there preaching. He's a good street preacher also.
Oh, yeah, I saw him in, I don't know if I heard him yet, but I saw him in, pictures on Facebook. I think we got somebody on the phone. I want to see who this is. They want to, talk or ask questions. So I haven't really screened them, so hope it's nothing bad. I'm going to bring them on. They are from 562, so it looks like they might be in Bellflower also or something like that. Here we go. Bring them on. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this? Guess they're not. I don't know, it's weird because it shows them in my queue, but then in the other one it doesn't show them, and I try to bring them on. Oh, wait, hello?
Hi, Melissa.
Oh, who's this?
Hi, my name is Steve. How are you?
Oh, good. Do I know you already?
Yeah, we met a couple times, and I listened to your show a couple times, so yeah. Out in Mission Inn, Riverside.
Oh, okay, cool.
In Christmas, we met.
Oh, was that the Festival of Lights, I think it was?
Yes, yes. You came there, and then we went and had dinner with the whole group and fellowship afterwards at the Farmers Boys.
Yeah, it was good. That was, I
and then
that
you just shipped a case... And then you just shipped a case of Bibles out to Uganda, and I'm the one that we helped together. We worked with that to get it out there.
Oh, yeah. I think you paid for it or something. I was like, that was pretty cool. Yeah. Thanks for that. And
praise the Lord. I have a question for Brother Mike on there.
Sure.
He's online. I had a question to ask him, that he goes through. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, I have a question for you, Mike. I see a lot of times the videos on Facebook of you preaching at different places, and sometimes you maybe hit a place, you go to a place maybe twice, even three times, from your travels. Has there ever been a time that maybe you encountered a heckler the first time, and then maybe like the second or third time of you coming around that city, or maybe even you heard that maybe the Lord saved them or convicted them of something? Or is there anything interesting on the road that you have encountered to encourage maybe some local guys like us who go out there and preach?
Yeah, actually, yeah. That was a recent one that happened. We were out preaching in Tennessee and had another professing Christian. And I don't necessarily doubt that he's not a Christian, but he came against the preaching and kind of made a stand and seemed a little arrogant towards it. And then later on, and it was on a YouTube video, and later on he saw the video and repented of the way that he acted. A friend of mine who goes and does campus ministry ran into him and talked about it, and he said that he was sorry for the way that he acted towards me. But I'm also I also preach in Union Square, and there's a lot of familiar faces. So a lot of times when we're out there preaching, we get the same faces who come out and heckle us. But you know what? We could go out there 100 times, and God is working on their hearts, and maybe on that 101st time, God will do a work in them.
Yes. And how do you keep up with, what's like a daily thing for you? I know, like, you preach all the time, but how do you get, like, your study time in, and how important is that to a person who's out there preaching the gospel? Like, what is some, advice that you could give to somebody out there who's the Lord's placed it on his or their heart to preach the gospel, and what would you encourage them to do, like daily reading and different theological books,
Yeah, they should definitely show themselves approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's for sure, because we need to be in God's word. We can't go out there. The word is our sword out there, and we can't be out there with a dull sword. We have to be out there knowing God's word, be in his word. You should do your daily devotional, if not the Bible studies whenever you can, and of course be in prayer. We don't want to do anything in the flesh. We want to be out there filled with the Spirit. We want God to speak to us. That's why it's so important to be men and women of prayer before we go out. And that's many times
I have my private prayer, but before we go out as a group, we will take time to pray about that outreach, and we do it every time, and we also, when we're finished, we pray about after it's over also. So we're trusting in God to do the whole work and not on our own flesh.
Yes. Thank you. No, that's good. I appreciate that. And another question, just hope, Melissa, if I'm not taking too much time, I just have these questions for Brother Mike, you know, and he's a soldier, you know, on the road and battling against many things. I have a question, too. I watched a video from Tony Miano, who's another, you know, elder, you know, brother, you know, in the Lord that gives good advice. And he was talking about on his blog about these people who aren't connected to a local church, you know, and you, I saw on your website, I just checked it out, that you have actually a recommendation from your pastor and that he knows what you're doing. And how important is that? And what can you encourage other preachers out there to be, you know, committed to a local church under the pastor? Because everybody talks Romans 10, you know, 14, 15, you know, around there where it says that, you know, how will they hear without a preacher, and how will they, you know, without a preacher who's being sent? And obviously that verse is talking that they're sent, you know, that preachers are sent. So how would you, you know, what encouragement would you give, say, to a preacher who's preaching, but he's not connected to a local church?
Yeah, I mean, we've run into that a lot. And I am blessed that my church is behind me, that I am a missionary who has been sent out by my church. My church has prayed over me. My pastor is totally behind what I do. There's a lot of guys out there that are kind of like nomad. They're not attached to a church. And you have to be careful with that, because you need to be, around other like-minded believers. And when you tend to get away from the church, you start going down these roads, and some of them can wind up leading to Pelagianism, and that's scary for that to happen. So it is important to be grounded with a church, to be sent out and having a church behind you. Although there are guys out there who are very good preachers who are not with a church, I don't recommend that. I mean, they still should be grounded and rooted in a good biblical church that is behind them.
Yes. And is there any passage of scripture that is say that when you go out, like before you witness, do you kind of go back to any scripture for counsel or for meditation, you know, before you're going to go preach? Or is there something that always just kind of like a passage of scripture that comes to your mind before you go out?
Well, I personally, I like to read the Psalms. The Psalms are very comforting to me. I look at King David and his heart, how his heart was towards God, and how he just, his trust was in God, and that's what, you know, before we go out, that's what I like to do. I like to be in the Psalms, but basically, I do like where Jesus says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go into the world and preach the gospel, and that's what, that is the driving force of what started my whole ministry. Was I was doing evangelism, but when he said, I kept reading that word, go, and it kept getting bigger and bigger every time I read it. And I just couldn't avoid the call that he laid on my life to go into all the world. So that's what I've been doing.
Yes. And what's the normal reaction of people when you tell them that you sold everything, you know? And 'cause that's what we're called to do, is to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Christ, you know. So how, what do people say, you know, normally think of that?
Most people say, hey, I wish I can do it.
Yeah.
The Christians that I know who are preachers, who are evangelizing, who are unashamed of the gospel, who are not just sitting in church, but going out into the world
and preaching, they would love to be doing what I'm doing, but so many people can't, you know. They have families, wives and kids, so they can't do what I'm doing. So the Lord has blessed me in a special way, so to where I'm single, I've never been married. He's laid it on my heart. He's given me the abilities. Evangelism is a gift in a sense, because some people are more gifted at it. It's something that we all are to do, but some people are a little more gifted at it. And it's not something that comes overnight. I didn't know that I had the gift of evangelism until the Lord was laying it on my heart and has put me in a position today that it's all by the glory of God that I'm where I'm at.
Hey, Steve.
Amen. And well, yes.
Okay, well, ask one more question, but we got to move on after that because got one more caller, I think.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just going to ask Mike, like, thank you, Melissa, for that. I just asked one more question. What encouragement can you give to somebody who's out there right now, say who's listening to the show or who will listen in the future? Somebody maybe who is not the open-air preacher, who doesn't just have that unction in their voice, that spirit to, you know, to be able to, get through with hecklers and all that stuff. Just somebody who's just a real steadfast person in the Lord. They love the Lord. They want to evangelize. They just don't know what to do. I mean, how would you encourage somebody just with, say, who just would go pass out maybe some tracks, you know, and how would
that's
you
exactly
just encourage them, you know?
That's what I was going to say. Just go out there. A gospel track is a great way of evangelizing. It's a great way of sharing your faith. And just normal conversations that you run into with people on a daily basis, the clerk at the store or the gas station attendant, somebody who you come in contact with who they talk to people all day. So, I mean, most people in that situation are going to listen to you and you don't know how God's going to use you in a special way. And not everybody may be called to be a Jeremiah and go stand and proclaim and cry aloud, but for each individual, we do have a call to share what God has done in our lives and share the gospel with other people.
Amen. And Mike, I just want to say thank you so much, brother, on the internet. I watch videos. You're an encouragement to me and to other people that I know. And may God bless you and continue to use you for his glory until he calls you home to the other side of glory. And thank you so much and for answering my questions. And Melissa, thank you, too, for your radio show. May God continue to bless you and give you the strength and courage. And I know you're dedicated. You do this show 2 hours every Sunday. So thank you so much for your dedication, sister, to the kingdom of God.
Well,
and may he always bless
my
you.
My ministry, because I don't get to do that much else.
Thank you so much.
I get some gospel
track. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Are you in the chat room, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and we're going to move on to the next caller.
Next caller. Bye. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me ask those questions.
Thank
that was good
you.
Advice. Thank you. God bless you all.
Okay, bye. Okay, let's see. I think we have one more caller. I'm going to bring him or her on. And here we go. Hello? Is anybody there? 682 area code?
Hello?
Hello? Did you want to ask any questions? Or is that Mike? I don't know if I'm talking. Am I talking to Mike or two different people?
Yeah, I think you're talking to me. It's Mike.
Okay, that's it. Oh, that's you. Sorry. No wonder. Okay, wait. I thought I brought somebody else on. That's weird. I don't know. I guess I'll put it back on mute. Let's see. Okay, got to put it on mute. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to ask you something. Because I was thinking of something. Okay, have you, what's, like, the the craziest or whatever the most, like, I guess, wild situation that you had so far? Like, I guess, like, where there's a lot of drama or something like that?
Well, we were out in, I've had a few of them. I just had one recently in Pellissippi College in Tennessee. But I was in the UK with Jeremiah Cry, and they're a ministry that preaches the gospel. And we were out in the UK, and we were out there preaching, not me personally, but one of my friends that was out there. There was a fight that broke out in the crowd, and these guys were literally fist fighting during the preaching of the gospel.
I think I saw that. Was that on a video?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
And then later on in the week, there was another fight in the crowd at another place. I mean, that rarely ever happens here in America, but it happened twice in less than a week in the UK. So it was kind of a strange experience out there.
Yeah, it was funny. I think some of them, I think they're trying to defend you, and then, like, they start, like, fighting each other or something
yeah,
like that.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty weird.
Yeah, and, you know, there was one just recently that we had that I was in Tennessee. It was about 2 months ago, and the whole college, the kids there just started, the students, just started going wild, and it was pretty intense at one point.
Have you ever gone to Cerrito College? Because I went there before, so I'm familiar with it.
Cerrito?
Yeah.
Yes, I preached there too.
Yeah, it's a good place because I see a lot of people go there because, like, pretty much, like, I guess they let people do that. Do you have to, like, tell them ahead of time, or you just get out there and do it?
When I went, I just walked on, and I preached, and I got a couple of hecklers and drew a nice crowd, and we just had some great one-on-ones that stemmed out from that.
Well, the good thing, too, out there, they have, like, they have an amphitheater. I don't know if you use that, but they have that up there by the radio station.
Yeah, no, that was like one of the first places I ever preached, not in California, but in New York, was an amphitheater. I stood in it, and there was a group of people doing Tai Chi, and they at a park, and it was this big amphitheater thing, and I did my first open air preaching there. And I got shut down because I didn't have a permit to be there. And the guy who was running it had a permit, so they asked me to leave. And I didn't know nothing about law or anything or free speech, so I didn't put up a fight. So I was kind of discouraged that I wasn't able to preach my whole message.
Well, yeah, and I think I'm going to try – I think it's the same person, but I think they want to talk, so I'm going to try one more time and see if this person wants to be on the air. Because, like, usually it has a little indicator that says they want to be on the air. So I'm going to bring them on.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Hello? Caller? 682 area code?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry,
good.
I guess there's a problem with the switchboard or something. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is Brad.
What's your name?
Brad.
Is it Brad Snow?
Hi, Brad.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hi.
Cool.
Yeah,
thanks
I just
calling.
Called to ask a couple questions of Mike. Yeah, hey, Mike. Considering the fact that you've preached in a lot of different locations, I imagine a time or two you've run into law enforcement. I was curious to know what kind of issues have you run into? Have they gone as far as to arrest you or detain you or is it just they ask you to stop?
Yes to all of your questions, all of the above. Yeah, the only thing I've come short of is I've never been arrested, and I thank God for that. But I've been ticketed, cited for preaching. That happened to me twice, once on Hollywood Boulevard, and you were there with me, so I know you know what it's like. And also going I do run into police a lot. So the best advice I can give to people who run into police when they're preaching is to be courteous and don't talk down to them. A lot of times it's a small thing that they want. So the thing that I would say is you may lose a small little battle, but yet you'll still be able to preach. And ultimately, that's what's the important thing, is that the gospel goes out. So we don't mind giving up a little ground as long as we can continue to preach.
Yeah.
And specifically, I was in Dallas, and I had a police officer stop us after we were preaching for 3 hours, and we were preaching at the Benny Hinn Crusade, and he said, oh, we had to move, and I was trying to be polite, but even when you're polite, they want to win the little battle. So eventually I had to just walk away and preach across the street. I still felt like I was being persecuted a little bit because we did have rights, but we still got to preach. So.
What kind of opposition do you come across from those who listen? I mean, I know that the gospel is offensive to the majority of people, but what kind of opposition have you faced when you preach the gospel?
Well, you know, of course, we have people that that they're by nature they want nothing to do with God. They even when they hear the name of Jesus, you know, we'll be preaching and they hear the name of Jesus and they're like, oh man, they're talking about that, and they get all upset. But the worst, I think, is when professing Christians come and tell us, try to stop us from preaching, try to say when we're up there, we're turning people away. And it's kind of, that's kind of discouraging. I mean, it doesn't stop us, but it's discouraging to think that people who are saying they're Christians are hearing the gospel going forth, and yet they're not praising the Lord that in this wicked and perverse generation that people are out there boldly proclaiming the gospel. You would think they would be encouraging and say, way to go. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. You know, but they're coming and telling us, oh, this isn't the way it's done. That was in the Bible. This today is a new age. And so it gets a little hard. I expect it from the world. You know, I wouldn't expect them to react any different because they're non-believers. They're unsaved. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. But professing Christians, that kind of hurts you a little more.
Yeah, it's true. So the fact that you're on the road a lot, and I imagine when you began this full-time evangelism on the road, you know, how having your daily needs met, you know, a place to sleep, something to eat, was an unknown when you started. Have you ever felt deprived of anything that you needed, or was there have you had all your needs met?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I was setting out to do it, I knew about a month before I was actually going to go. I really felt the call, and I had sold everything. I had gotten it all together that I was going to go, and it was the week before I was getting ready to leave, which was in April 20th of 2009. I was getting ready to go. And the week before, it was really I was like, Lord, I'm doing this, but I'm scared now. And I was like, wow, I know you called me, but I'm really going into the unknown. And the day that I left, the day that I woke up that morning on April 20th, the Lord had just given me a perfect peace. And I guess a lot of my nervousness was about, you know, where am I going to sleep? Am I going to be able to eat all the time? And, you know, and so it's been over 2 years now, and I haven't had to sleep in my car or sleep on the road or anything like that. I've always had a house to sleep at. The Lord has been providing me with meeting people all along the way who've graciously opened their homes, and it's just been a blessing. Food-wise, the Lord is, that's another thing, has always provided my meals. I've never been in want of anything. And, you know, this journey has just been a great eye-opener for me on how the Lord takes care of his own and how he's been so faithful in taking care of all my needs and really being a wonderful provider for me. And
hey,
I just thank him. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, because I was thinking about what you're saying, now that you've gone through so far, all of you done, is there any advice or anything you would like to say if anybody else would want to do something like this, like, or maybe something you learned maybe to tell other people who would want to do this?
Yeah, I was kind of saying before, the first and foremost is be a good student of God's word. You know, David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what we need to do. We need to hide God's word in our heart. So now if you feel called to be an open-air preacher, that's great. And the best advice I could say is know the word of God. Also, if you feel called to sell it all, if God is really moving in you to sell it all and to go out and evangelize for him, I would say just be in prayer and really trust the Lord if it does happen. And, it's not everything is going to be cut and dry. Not everything is going to be able to put it on paper and figure it all out. A lot of it is just having faith in God, that he is a good God who cares about his children. And he says that, you know, the birds of the air, you know, he knows every one of them, and he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, and he feeds them, and he's going to supply all our needs too. So we just really need to trust in the Lord about everything. So if you really feel the Lord leading you, just be in prayer about it. That's the best advice I can give you.
Brad, you still there?
Yeah. I have another question. Mike, you know, the fact that you do this all the time, I'm sure it helps in overcoming the fears that often are attributed with meeting people that you don't know and sharing the gospel with them. What advice do you have for those of us who struggle with fear to share the gospel? What would you advise for them to help overcome that?
You need to just realize, what is your fear? Is your fear the fear of man, or is it, you know, it should be the fear of God. See, if you have the fear of God, it'll compel you to override your fear of man, because that's ultimately what stops people, is our fear of how people are going to receive us. Are people going to think we're strange? And our fear of God should be greater, knowing that there's a day coming when we're going to stand before him and give an account for our life. And we want to know that on that day that we were faithful. And you need to just kind of just do it. Is really what I could say is that, and the more that you do it, the less the fear will come. I mean, there'll always be that nervousness, but that's good, because what that does is that makes you rely on God and not rely on your own wisdom or your own flesh, but you rely on God's Holy Spirit to speak through you, to give you the words, and to give you the boldness so that you can do it.
Yeah. Do you think it's important that when we go out that we're not going out alone, that we have other brothers with us? Or do you think at times it is okay to be by ourselves, especially on the streets?
I would say this. It's your how you feel the Lord is leading you. I believe that Christ sent them out two by two. So I do believe in having at least a partner out there who is like-minded, to watch your back when you're out there, because it could get a little wild at times. And but also, if you're compelled to preach and you don't have no one, then you know we have to trust in the Lord there. We have to trust in the Lord in all situations, but. I mean, when I started my ministry, I was going out a lot of times on my own preaching, and you know, and the Lord was blessed me because of that. I mean, I walked away amazed with the encounters that I had because of that. So it is something. I wouldn't suggest a woman to go out alone. A woman, I believe, should at least be accompanied by someone, but a man. Even him, I would say, go out by twos if you can. But if you feel that the Lord's leading you, I'd rather preach the gospel than to preach no gospel.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have. But I just want to thank Mike for being on today's show and opening his heart to all that God is doing through him. And I just want to let you know, Mike, I love you. And I look forward to all the time we have together that God allows. So,
thanks, Brad. You have a blessed Father's Day also.
Yeah, God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Brad.
Bye.
And let's see. We got about 7 minutes left. Let me think.
I just want to know... How have you been, Melissa?
Oh, doing good. I actually been wanting to go witness more. Like, I only, like, more recently been giving out gospel tracts. But one thing that I have been, like, haven't been doing good, though, is I need to go. I haven't been going to church lately. I need to do that. That's real important. Because, like you said about being alone, like, if you just, like, out there, like, alone, like a lone wolf, you, like, kind of, like, try and get more weird because, like, you don't have, like, a solid ground, like you said, like, but I do read my Bible, but, like, always, like, I should read more than I do now.
And it's good to sit under a pastor who is, who's got a good, you know, who's preaching a good biblical gospel to his congregation.
Yeah.
And that helps keep you in line. And what it does is when he's preaching, you know, we don't go by man, but it makes you search the scriptures, and you can you know, look at them yourself in light of what he taught, and you can kind of come to a better acknowledgement of what the Bible's saying. And if you have a problem, you can go to him and you can, you know, go over the scriptures together, and that's why it's important to have that.
Yeah, I know I should be more confident. I don't know. When I go, I don't usually really talk to the pastor that much. I don't know. I guess I felt like it's kind of not as approachable. I don't think it's his fault. It's just like, I think it's just the way I am. But
it doesn't have to be a pastor. I mean, you could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a deacon at the church.
Well, there is some people I know there that, like, other than a pastor, like, because they have, like, you know, like a small group kind of thing. They have that. They stopped it for right now, but, like, they had it for, like, a long time. And I was going there. Brett Coronado and his wife, I think her name's Connie, and she was doing the, it was like, you know, a Bible study. I actually like that better, the smaller groups, because I feel more comfortable in a smaller group than, like, everybody, like, there, like, you know, everybody there.
Yeah, small groups are good because you can really dive into the meat of the a word and really get into it.
Yeah,
those are good small groups.
Yeah, you can ask questions, and then you feel, like, more close to people when you, it's something like that. It's, like, more intimate. So
yeah,
that's
definitely.
That's one thing I do like about that. And I just think it's really cool because, like, that you're going around, because you get the one thing that I'd like to do, like, meet more people. Like, earlier, we did talk to Steve and then Brad Emmett before, but that's what's really cool that I like, that you get to do, you get to meet, like, so many other different Christians and talk to them and get to know them. So that's really cool that.
Yeah, and a lot of them are, you know, they're like-minded, so it's kind of.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of guys for the first time, and I talk to them for 15 minutes, and I feel like I've known them my whole life because we're brothers and sisters.
And let me see. I think we should wrap it up. I want to thank you for. Is there anything else that you would like to say for we end the show?
Yeah, I just hope that anybody who's listening, that all the fathers out there would have a blessed Father's Day and love their family, be a godly example of how a man should love a woman by loving your wife. And also that, and if you don't have a father, like I don't, my father passed away, that we have a heavenly father who cares about us and loves us. He loves his children. And
he knows
we
better than ourselves.
That's right. That's right. So we don't have to say that we're fatherless because we're not. We have a father in heaven who was not only our father, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful thing that we have a God like that.
I want to thank you, Mike Stockwell, for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. I didn't even realize it 2 years. I guess that's how fast life goes by. I didn't even realize it was that long. And I want to mention your website. They can look at crosscountryevangelism.com.
That's right, crosscountryevangelism.com. Yeah, they can go to that. And I'm also, they can Facebook me, Mike Stockwell.
Oh, yeah, I have you on there, too. So if you want to talk to him and just find out his journey. Also, I see you have your YouTube videos I've seen on there, too.
Yep, they can see some videos, yeah.
So thank you again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Well, God bless you, Melissa. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye
okay.
for now.
Bye-bye.
And like I said, that was Aquil. And I think we will go out and with this is a song by Guitar Boy 70, and the vocals is Lex Bray. Stove, it's spelled LEXBRESTOV, and this is my father's world. And thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're on Facebook, and our shows get archived on iTunes, and look for us on truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. This is Melissa Cantrola, once again for Truth Be Told Radio, and this is a song, This Is My Father's World.